The Sage Steele Show launches Wednesday. Go to The Sage Steele Show on YouTube and click subscribe.
That kind of attitude is just so obnoxious.
I know. If you get me started, my publicist will run in here in a minute and, like, she's got to go. Club. Let me just put it to you like this, Bill. There is a book in here, but some people are going to have to die first. So... Nice. I didn't expect a
for
suit.
You. For you. Well, it's not a suit.
I know, but you know.
But I did that for you.
I'm very also, impressed. I wear my rock tee for
also,
you.
Also, full disclosure, because it's kind of cold in here.
Ah.
So like, oh, I can. But no, are you kidding? You know, the coolest booking we ever had. Don't ever say that to the other guests. Although, you know what? Every other guest I've ever had, and we've had some of the coolest people
You've
ever
had cool
here.
People in
they
here.
Would still agree with that. No one would say, no, that's not the coolest booking. Really?
I don't know.
Well, I'm such a fan.
I'm, you know, I'm you know, excited genuine... to hear that you're getting ready to have Kid Rock at the Ryman.
And you see that that's... I compare my dog to Kid Rock because he barks at nothing. So my friend...
That.
My genius
that is hilarious.
Made that. That's my dog has one eye. That is my dog with the kid. Isn't that awesome?
Let's hear about your dogs. Are these their beds over here?
No, that's because this is a hippie enclave.
Yes.
Do you remember this show, Politically Incorrect?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So, like, I was thinking, because I watched your documentary.
You didn't want to kill yourself afterwards?
Why? No. It brought me to tears, the ending. I thought when it was like 20 minutes to the end, like, then we'd meet your kids. Like, I'm not a kid person, so I was like, oh...
You're like, wah, wah.
Yeah, but it was great.
Not the kids.
Not the kids. But it was okay. You did it well. And then moved on. And the ending at, was it Bonnaro? Bonnaro? What
oh,
is it?
Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo.
Yes.
mean, what a great ending for a documentary, which is, I did one. You know, you're always looking for an ending. And that, you know, you think, you get out there, there's nobody there a half hour before
Literally.
The show. And you're like, oh, I'm a legacy act now, you know, and the kids are over me. And then it's this, in a half hour, the sea of people. And you said you were looking at your band like, can you guys believe?
I know, literally. It's like they let us out of the old folks home. And look, they've let all the kids come out into the parking lot.
Yeah, but, you know, I can't believe you ever thought you were ever out of style.
It's weird. I mean, you know, you've been around for a long time. I don't know if you feel this way, but now listen. And I've said this 1,000 times. My 13-year-old, when he was 9, he's like, Mom, you know you were born in the 1870s. You do get to the point where you feel like, God, I'm aging out of this business, you know?
Well, you certainly...
I did wear my leather pants specifically for Club Random. Just saying.
You look great. You always did. You know, you're a rock chick, so, you know... I mean, you were born to be one.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Really? Don't you think? I mean, not just the great music, but also you had the look, and you also had the what it takes to, like, you know, I'm sure. I saw in the documentary the harassment, which is not surprising. Like, I've had girlfriends in this business. One of them said to me, and she's quite successful. She said, I've never met a man in this industry who didn't try to have sex with me.
I mean, it's. names or do you?
No, no. But doesn't that just sum it up?
It is. It is. It is a. It's. They, it's they like all... a given. I mean, it's a weird business. You know, I was not. I will say, and I was older when I made it. Like, really made it. I had already been a school teacher. I had lots of jobs. Had I been young like they are now, there's no way.
If what?
If I'd been young like these kids are now that are coming up and becoming huge, like Olivia Rodrigo, who's like 20 or 19, and Taylor, who made it when
and
she...
And Billie Eilish.
There's just no way. I would not be able to deal with it.
Well, and you see that they... sometimes fumble their way through it. I mean, they actually do better than you might expect, except that those kids that at that generation, they're so used to, I mean, everyone is sort of famous now. They're so used to, you know, I mean, if anybody was ever prescient, it was Andy Warhol with everyone's going to be famous for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that big dive and splash into the pool that it would be for people in our generation, because they kind of like, we're always like social media and it just got bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you as the artist manipulate it. Like you create your brand, you advertise yourself, you sell yourself, and then the music is just a byproduct of that, and you're selling yourself so that you can sell tickets and get advertisers, and just that was never part of the way I came up. You know, that there just was none of that. In fact, until Bob Dylan did the Victoria's Secret ad, nobody did advertisements or took money for anything except for playing music and selling records. So it's just a different thing.
But the main difference is that you can't make money.
You cannot make money.
How insane is that?
It makes me sad.
I had a very serious relationship with someone who I say was quite successful. It's quite successful, but the money. I remember I had. I think it was kind of at the behest of her at the time. I did someone at the top interview of my show to, you know, just get this Aloe Black,
mm-hmm. Oh,
the
yeah.
artist,
yeah.
And talking about just this issue of, like, who was it, Pharrell, I think, had one year had, like, the biggest song of the year, and he made, like,
$12,000. I know.
You know, I mean, Spotify, would they pay, what, a millionth of a cent for, I mean,
yes,
it's just,
it
there's
makes
no,
me so mad.
There's no connection to, like, oh, I go to the record shop, and I got to choose. I remember once I was standing in Tower Records and I was looking at, like, I don't know, but some stranger who don't usually talk to me just said, get the Dylan. I was looking at like two albums and one was like the big, this is like 1985.
I miss that. We went to the bookstore this morning or this afternoon. My manager and I walked from the hotel to the bookstore on Sunset. Now, that bookstore, I used to live right down the street from there. And I have so many memories from that bookstore on Sunset. And right across.
Book Soup?
Yes, right across from
right.
What used to be Tower Records.
Yes.
Where I played in the parking lot.
Really?
When I was first
you played
newly
in the parking?
Signed. Oh, it was big, too. Big deal for me to play. I mean, there was probably 30 people there. And I was like, oh, my God.
What was the event, though?
It was my record release.
Oh, I see. So they did it at the record store.
Yeah.
It was like a book signing.
Yeah.
And 30 people showed up?
Yeah, there's probably 30 or 40 people there.
That's great that you have that. I mean, it's great.
It's just like, for these kids now, it's like, I don't know. I mean, yes, I was born in the 1870s. What can I say? No. I hate it because, for me, when you sold records, you knew you had your people. They're people
right.
that were, like, into what you're doing. How does it even work now, you know? We just went on TikTok, which I will say I called TikTok, and my 13-year-old was like,
"Oh God,
Mom,
yeah,
Mom, you yeah. just, no, you
really,
just
President
you just
Biden,
literally, yes."
Well,
they're like, "That's so cringy, Mom."
But we like they can do and know things about that phone and that device and that way of life that we don't even know about. We're like a submarine where we lost our sonar. We're
yes,
flying
no,
blind,
it's true.
And so I mean this. I've read this many times. It's a common story that the parents something happened. Usually, it's something tragic like a suicide, and the parents are like, "Oh my God, we had no idea." And you know, and then they said we tried to look. We look through the phone. Yeah, they have ways to fool you.
And no.
You are so basic on this.
They have fake Snapchats. They have fake Instagrams. The good thing is I have a young, so the young woman that I hired to go on the road with me with my kids when they were really little is now my assistant. And
wow.
She does all my social media. She's fantastic. And she's like my investigator. Because I don't know how to work anything, and I don't really want to know how to work anything. I really don't want to know. I'm just like, I don't want to know. I like to read books. I like to listen to books, you know.
Someday I'm going to do a show called My Five Wives. I thought of this
for a long time. Have you had five wives?
No, I've had no wives. And the reason why I don't haven't needed any is because I have five different, my assistant...
I know. I'm honestly like, who needs a husband? I have a great assistant.
And then my great friend who made this next door, he goes on the road with me and, you know, he does all the macho stuff. He's like, I have five wives and a husband. You know, like I can't fix shit. he fixes all the shit, you know, because something's always broken.
Yeah.
That's a great record. You know how you could tell I'm such a fan of yours, and not only of your music, but like we have the same taste. Like some of the songs you've picked to cover are like not obvious ones, like Beware of Darkness. I love that. And Everything is Broken. I'm not someone who listens to everything.
I love that you even know that song.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You picked songs. Oh, another one, Sign My Name.
Oh, yes.
One Hit Wonder. I remember that, right?
Yeah,
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, the whole record.
That record was great.
Yes, and that was the single, I think.
Yeah, it was. It's huge.
But that, you know, that was a cover that I'm sure most people did not know was a cover.
Yeah. But that's a cover.
Those are all ones that are in my iPod.
I hear that you still use an iPod, and I love you for it. There, I said it.
So much better. I mean, I can edit on it.
Can edit on it, okay.
Yes, you can cut off the beginning and the end. You can make this.
Oh, really?
Yes.
See, I don't even know how to work an iPod.
You were around for the...
But I didn't know you can edit on it.
On your computer, because you do everything on the computer, and then you sync it to the computer.
Right, okay, you download it
right.
to it, right?
So I love that. I mean, I'm anal. So I like I can see exactly the song, and I don't... Streaming with this, you might like... I might not. I want my music, okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I download records, listen to them, keep the ones I love, discard the rest. There's no waste in there. When I put it on shuffle, it's my 4,000 favorite songs from going back to 1968.
Now, how do you get turned on to new songs?
Anyway, you know, like, you can hear it. I could see a, you know, I'm like...
So you would hear it, and then you go on your computer and download it from, like, Apple Music, or do you...
No. Yes, iTunes. I pay for it.
Okay.
If
so
I like it.
Oh, you know what? The record.
I put Pandora.
Okay.
Is it Pandora?
Maybe.
Yes, Pandora, which... It's stupid. I love you, Pandora, but you are dumb. You can't do what I can do with playlists. You can only like play songs from like the same era. They don't really have, right. I can put a playlist together from like many different decades, but they all have the same vibe. Pandora, you can't do that. But you're dear to me anyway. Anyway, so I'll like put a station, you know, you pick a song you like. Okay, let's hear the whole station, songs that are like that.
Okay.
That's how I often do. And then you just hit thumbs up, and then you have a list of new stuff. And you like, usually if I like the song, I'll say, okay, I'm going to buy, because I buy. Like,
you are committed.
Yes.
You are committed.
Well, first of all, I think artists should get what they have coming. I'm telling you, I know this intimately.
I do too.
Okay, so I'm going to do my part. So I buy the album. You can still do that.
As Emmylou Harris says, that's your way of voting.
Exactly. And then, you know, sync the iPod. I usually buy three albums, like, at a time. So then listen to those three, and I'll sync the iPod, and then I'll listen, you know. Listen. Look, I know you have a new one. They sent it to me 2 days ago. First of all, I just don't have time. Second of all, I want to buy this the way I bought every one of your albums, and I bought them.
Oh,
they're all good.
All of them.
Well, there's good stuff on all of them.
Okay, thank you.
So I take out the ones I like, but your Sheryl Crow playlist is just fantastic. I mean, it's just one after another great one.
Oh, thank you.
So all your hits I like.
Thank you.
I also love, I don't even know what was a single at my age. You know, like, was Abilene, was that a single?
That was not a single.
Okay, that's a great one.
God,
I don't even know what
it's
about, and I love
God,
it.
God, thank you. My favorite record, not my favorite record, but the favorite record I've made in a long time, the funnest record I've made, was a record called Be Myself.
Oh, I have it, of course.
I can't believe you had that record. I mean,
okay,
literally,
was that,
I think.
Roller Skate, is that
on
that one?
Yes.
Oh, and Lifestyle?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
Oh, Always
you.
On My Side? Is that same record?
That one was on.
That is a...
I can't remember what record that was on.
Okay, that one, I hate to tell you this. Like, nothing makes me cry. Well, not in life. I'm not a crier, but movies can easily. I don't know why.
Like, you don't cry?
Not really over things in life. That's hard, but
what
yes.
do you cry over?
Like, really, almost any movie that knows how to, like, hit that thing. I'm a really easy
okay,
crier.
Okay, The Holdovers. I cried at the end of that.
The Holdovers.
Which yes, one was it that? Was the one with, what's his name, about the school, the prep school boy who gets left for Christmas. What's the guy's name that plays him and plays it? Anyway, check it out. I cried at the end of it. It was so weird.
Yeah, it's very easy to admit, do that to me. But musically, much less
music
so.
Now.
And I don't even know why that song, oh, I guess I do. It's just beautiful. And it just,
which,
and it really
which song?
Moves me to tears. And very few songs. You know what song?
Which song was it?
Always on My Side.
Always on My Side. Oh, thank you.
And
the Sting version?
Both. I have them both, one after another.
You're good.
Yeah. No, it's a great duet. You know what song
you want to hear
me
something crazy about that?
What?
We shot the video for that 4 days after I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was supposed to present at the Grammys with Lance. Mm-hmm. And oh, wow. We had split a few days before that.
Oh, God.
And Sting went with me to
rough
the
week.
Grammys.
Rough week, huh?
It was surreal. But Sting was like, literally like knight in shining armor. He's like, I'll present with you. And he was like, well, I look at the artwork from that song, and he's like got his arms around me. I look like a freaking deer in headlights.
But you, just, you are the...
And that song, you know.
You are the... teacher's pet for like every great male rock star over like 30 years. I mean, spanning the whole thing. I mean, Prince loved you and Mick Jagger and Dylan and, you know, all these different, everybody, Michael Jackson. That's great.
I didn't really know if he even knew who I was. Like, I ran into him at the Grammys after I toured with him for 18 months and I was just like, hey, and he's like, hello. And I was like, I don't think
well,
he knows who I am.
You weren't his type, grown.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I think we know.
Yeah.
Look, I try to be very non-judgmental, but I mean, when Oprah threw her lot in with the accusers, I was like, well, first of all, I believe the accusers, right? I mean, you could just tell. It's not that hard sometimes to tell when people are lying. I just don't think there was enough in it and for these guys to, mm-hmm. you know, there's always some money or some fame or something, but, you know, it's really hard to go forward even like that, even if you're getting money. It's an icky thing, but on stage, he certainly looked like he was attractive.
I would say he was insane. You know, he's one of those people.
Well,
I would say in all the years of my being on the road and working with different artists, and I've been really lucky. But I was new then, didn't have a record deal. And it's the first time I ever started thinking about why some people can manipulate 60,000 people physically. Like Carlos Santana says, you change the molecules. I mean, and there's total divinity in that. If you believe in God or you don't. It's an energy thing. I call it divinity because it is divine and it is not explicable. But then there was this whole other thing, this damage, and how a person can hold all of that. I can see why I always say he won't live very long because you can't be able to have that incredible energetic power and be that damaged and have that inform who you are and you're living everyday normal life. It just was insane to watch because he'd go out and do these moves and sing these songs and you were just like transported, like you were watching something that had never been done before. It's just incredible. I mean, I will never forget feeling how I felt watching him from backstage.
I did not see that, but I did see the movie they put out posthumously where he's doing rehearsals for the tour that never happened.
Right.
You saw
it. I did not see it.
You haven't seen that?
I don't want to.
Okay, well, I'll try to make this brief.
Okay,
so you're not triggered.
But yeah.
you know, I mean, this is near the end.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to go. Remember, it was at the O2 in London. He was going to do.
Yes.
What's the manager, the promoter, who signed him for, what was it, 100 shows, thinking Michael Jackson was going to make it through? If he made it through one,
it
was going to be a victory.
Aaron Rodgers.
Not since the guy who turned down the Beatles.
Yes.
Was there a worse decision than, okay. Anyway, so he's rehearsing. And, you know, it's intermittently with Dr. Conrad Murray, currently now my personal doctor.
Is he really?
No.
My God.
Yes.
I'm like, wow.
Yes. I have Dr. Conrad Murray, Dr. Eugene Landy, who treated Brian Wilson.
Yes, no, I know.
And Dr. Vinnie Boombot. So that's my team.
No wonder you look so good.
Thank you. So I owe it all to clean liquor. But so...
Oh, my God.
Shit. What were we talking about?
About the show. You watched the documentary.
Oh, yeah. So... You know, a lot of it is, but there was still moments where in rehearsal, he would be the old Michael Jackson and would just go off, and the other dancers in the crew were just like slack-jawed, and then would burst into applause at the end.
Yeah.
So it was just like a flame that burned very bright consistently for a while, and then it was just... only a flicker, and then once in a while it would shoot up for a moment.
Yeah.
That was never going to get through 100 shows.
Never. Not even a healthy person at that. I mean, he was already
rough.
Like 40, or I don't know how old he was at the time, maybe close
to... No, closer to 50.
50.
Yeah. And
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
And no nose. You know, a noseless skeleton.
That makes it tricky.
To perform 100 shows.
Makes it tricky. It's hard to, like...
But... I must say, I mean, you said he's insane. Yes, that is a form of insanity. I think it's like...
Insane in a good way, but also a conflicted way, a very conflicted way, you know?
No, I don't think really a great way. I think show business at that level, I mean, the thing you were just talking about, where the magic, the Carlos Santana thing, that energy, the divinity, whatever you want to call it, that thing is so powerful that the person who... is reflecting that ray off them back to the audience. That ray is transforming their mind. I mean, we see it now with Kanye West. You just see it with lots of people who it's just like you're a normal person, and then they can't handle this level of adulation, and you can have anything you want. That's what warps their brain, and you're allowed to pig out on whatever you want.
I mean, it's
drugs.
Like ego. I mean, it's like young athletes who become huge and get these massive salaries and then wind up, you know, having to claim bankruptcy. I mean, it's all too much. I think money is... Money is man.
It's not the money so much.
It's power,
money,
right?
Money
and
is
the ego and the adoration.
That's what it is.
The fame. And
it's no one ever saying anything but yes, and can I get you more?
Yes.
Can I get you a better drug?
Yes.
Can I get you more pussy?
And
can
also,
I get you whatever?
You're dispensable. Like whoever is serving you is also highly dispensable. So that person, and having been around artists that have people that are the yes people, they're terrified of getting replaced. So it's a vicious cycle, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine doing it as a woman. It's not rock and roll, it just in general, that lifestyle, it's not really, it doesn't jibe with maybe modern women when we're all trans and we're all non-binary and we make no assumptions at birth, but like old school women, of which you are one and I love you for it. What's like women classic?
Yes, I'm a classic woman. Yes.
Woman,
or what do they call
classic?
It? I'm a, what's the term? Something about a childbearing.
Yeah, good
a
hips.
Childbearing, you know, I have something or a menstruating person or whatever.
A menstruating person is what we now have to, because we don't want to offend pregnant men or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's the kind of shit that drives me up crazy.
Then it doesn't really work if you've gone through menopause and then it's too complicated, Bill. It's just too complicated.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with teaching that there is a default setting to certain things. And also, we completely accept and respect when something is not the default setting. It's like most people are right-handed. That's the default setting. They used to actually discriminate against left-handed people. They thought it was like a sign of the devil or some shit. Really. But we got over
that. I'm thinking of the left-handed people that I know. And no, I'm kidding.
Okay, I'm here with hilarious Matt Friend. Here's when you know you've made it in show business. You can have Matt come in and read your ads. Matt?
Club Random is brought to you by the audio marketing gurus at Radioactive Media. In business, Bill, it's much better to be good than lucky. You can drive new sales and acquire new customers by partnering with shows like mine. You can elevate your business in an intimate space away from your competition. Stanley Tucci.
Club Random has been partnering with Radioactive Media since the beginning, and they can create a customizable campaign for your company's needs. Radioactive Media has an exclusive deal to promote your product or service on Club Random with me and save up to 50%.
Dr. Fauci, just lock in your first campaign this year. Don't leave your marketing to luck. Go to radioactivemedia.com or text the word random to 511511 today. Tucker Carlson to save up to 50%. Terms, conditions, message, and data rates may apply.
You might know Ben Mankiewicz as a host on Turner Classic Movies. Now you can hear Ben in intimate conversation with some of the most influential filmmakers and movie buffs of our time on the new podcast Talking Pictures from TCM and Max. Personal and honest conversations with the greats, Nancy Myers, Mel Brooks, Emerald Fennell, and me. I did it too. I watched Reds and talked about it with Ben and had a blast. Listen to Talking Pictures on Max or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, first of all, I know you don't have to do this. I can't tell you how appreciative I am, how flattering it is.
Wanted to come do it.
I know. I know that's why you're here. That's why I'm so
And I
flattered.
Love your show.
Thank
I
you.
Love the how thought-provoking and how truth-telling and how conversational it is. You know, it is interesting, talking about Bobby. You know, I've known Kid Rock for a lot of years. And he and I are...
Picture!
We're a great...
What a
I
record.
Think, speaking of picture, I think we're a great illustration of two people who are very on very different sides politically.
Of course.
And we've had some deep and hard conversations, like after the shooting in Nashville.
Right.
I called him and said, I need to understand what is happening. You know, I reached out to a lot of different country artists and got nowhere. And he said, I want to come over and talk to you about it. And we sat and we talked about it and talked about his grandkids actually go to school where my kids go, and or his granddaughter. And people can sit and talk about hard stuff.
This is
and
my life.
Compromise.
This is my quest. To follow that song.
I wish to...
no matter how hopeless, no matter how long. Yes, that's what I'm always trying to do.
Well, I appreciate it. So
yeah, and I know, love...
When this came up, I was like, yes, like,
you know the people I fucking hate the most? Now, if you ask me, who do I think is the biggest threat to this country? It's not even close. It is the right wing. They don't believe in democracy anymore or the environment.
I know, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
Donald Trump still exists. He's still out there. We need a bigger boat, blah, blah, blah. But, like, who viscerally makes me want to punch them in the fucking face?
Okay, who?
The kind of people who, like, if you were someone who, after doing Picture with Kid Rock, wouldn't talk to him because he voted for Trump,
I'd hate you. Yeah.
That's the kind of person I fucking hate.
Okay, so I grew up with a conservative and a liberal. And when I turned 18, my dad and my mom secretly were like, who are you going to vote for? Because they would always cancel each other out, their votes. And it was always a thing. I mean, in our household, there were heated conversations about what was going on politically. We had the nightly news, and that was it. Nightly news and then 11 o'clock news, which nobody ever watched. So it wasn't like now, but people talked about shit, you know, and disagreed about it. And that's my only thing. I'm like, we got to get, what's happening now is terrifying.
You can't, I keep saying it. You can hate Trump. You can't hate everyone who likes him. It's half the country.
You can't.
Or at least vote for him. And as much as I would never do that, and nobody's been harder on him, I get it. I get where different people are coming from. They didn't grow up like you. They don't think like you. And you can't make them, and you shouldn't try.
Right.
Let's complete the circle and have our differences be our strength. That kind of stuff. That they're always talking about. But it's true. I don't want to live in a country without the red states. I like going to the red states. There's something about that being there that I don't get here. Like a bad fucking attitude. Just not as judgy.
Sorry, I'm going in for my second. They told me there was free beer on this podcast, so I'm like,
I gotta say, beer comes up in your songs a lot.
I am a beer drinker.
Oh, I can tell.
Now, let me just tell you, my wilder years were a little later,
I've
pulled back to just the occasional, you know, beer.
But have you ever counted how many songs of yours have beer in the lyrics?
Can I tell you? Just really hoping for that endorsement.
What did you think when he shot the Bud Light? Did you call him then?
I'm going to be honest with you. And I don't know if you'll see this or not. That's why I called him and said, I need to understand where the hell you're coming from when we just had... And I said, what is it? Is it Budweiser? Is it the trans Dylan? Because neither one of those have anything to do with how much money you make or your freedom.
He knows that.
Yes, he did. And so I said, I need to understand. And he's like, I'm going to come over. And I love him for that.
Look.
I mean, that's not the only reason I love him. But we are like family. Like he told me when my boys came along.
Good.
Anything ever happens, I'm there for your kids. So, came over. And you know what? Before he left, we hugged and told each other we loved each other.
Yes.
We hammered it out.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I had Ann Coulter on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And I hadn't had her on for a while, but I mean, I've been friends with her since 1994 or something.
Yeah.
And no one's going to make me not be friends with her. She's a fun chick to hang out with. And we don't talk politics if we're not on the show, because I know where she is and she knows where I am. Don't tell me who my friends can be.
Yeah.
Really obnoxious.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit I hate.
I will say one thing.
Talk to them. Maybe you'll find something you don't know.
That is exactly right. And for me, I'm a research junkie. Like, I need to understand, like, whatever's happening in the world, I need to go back and find out what the history of it is. Because more than likely, what we know about it is not really the reality. But one of the things I'm learning is that people who have big platforms, that you do outlandish things in order to whip up your base. I mean, it's what politicians do. It's what people. And that is so ego-driven. Okay, that's fine. We all know that all of us have big egos. So, and Kid Rock is not exempt from that. It's fun to whip it up and see what happens. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what he said. He's like, it wasn't me, you know. It wasn't this. I wasn't that, you know.
He's a showman.
That's what it is. But my thing is, I want to make sure that all the people out there that jump on the hate bandwagon, and it becomes dangerous, like we hate Dylan, whoever, and we hate Budweiser and all that, y'all are being played. Y'all are being whipped into... this us against them. We're in this group of people that hate this and that. That's the part I have the problem with.
I see on the news is a lot of college kids saying things to people who support Israel, like you're Nazi scum. I mean, who have everything so ass backwards that that's when I need a joint. But I will never light one up. But can I hold one?
Yes, you can. If I wasn't singing tomorrow, I'd say, light that bad boy up right now.
No, I know. I've never not, but like for you, first of all, I would do this on standing.
Hold
on
me.
I would do this standing on my head. But it is a little like running a marathon for the first time.
I know it's got to be hard. It's difficult. First, you're wearing a suit jacket, and now you're not smoking. And I
feel better now.
I want to tell you how much I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. I feel better now. I'm almost like George Burns with the cigar. Remember George Burns?
Oh, yeah, of course.
He always had a fucking cigar in his hand.
Yeah, take my wife.
After the stage of show business I'm at, I need the prop cigar. cigar. Oh, God, just shoot me now. Hit me over the head with this
fucking hemp
guitar. Your boy Willie Nelson signed that.
Oh, I love that man.
Yes.
I do.
Another one. Everybody, like, adopted you. Everybody wanted to get a little of your shine.
I've been very, listen, I'm blessed beyond. I don't even know what to say. I'm just blessed. I know that sounds
Don
stupid.
Henley.
Love Don.
He was in the news yesterday.
What was Don in the news?
He's
okay, I
suing.
Read the New York Times in the morning, and then I just want to know that the world hasn't blown up, although
right.
it is blowing up. I can't even go near it now. It's so
oh, I agree.
Toxic. But what's going on with Don? He's suing.
Well, he's suing somebody.
About lyrics.
Lyrics, yeah.
But that already,
Notebook came out that it has all their notes when they were doing their stuff, him and Glenn. And
he lost, right? Didn't I see that? I think I looked at the news last night after we landed.
Probably. I mean, it's
I
hard to.
I think he didn't get it back.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it said the Eagles, that's their last tour, I guess, that they're on. That's.
Really?
Well, you're right, because they even had to call their most recent incarnation the Hell Freezes Over Tour, because
right.
he had said in 1980, we'll get back together when
Hell Freezes Over.
Which
yes.
is typical of their cheeky humor. They were,
yes.
I love those guys,
yes.
and that's one of the greatest bands and sounds of all time.
Yes.
And by the way, that 60 Minutes, I saw your documentary opens that you're with whoever, Steve Croft or somebody.
Steve Croft, yes.
And I did it once. Joyful experience, isn't it, 60 Minutes?
I didn't even know what a joyful experience was back then.
Oh, I know. We were I was thrilled to be on it.
I was like,
thrilled to be on
hey,
it again, yeah.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Croft.
No, it's exactly. I mean, 60
yeah.
Minutes. But they had the Eagles once, and they were remember they put out an album, very good album in 2007. They hadn't put out one in 28 years. And they put out one called Long Road to Eden.
Yes, I do remember that.
And it's really good. It's a double album.
Yes, I do remember
that. So they were promoting that, and Steve Croft or whoever says to Glenn Frey, like, well, you know, 60 Minutes, like, and what do you attribute to the success of the... And he just named the song titles. And I thought it was the most eloquent answer. And you could do the same thing. You just have to, like, give your song titles. If somebody ever says, what is your, psychologically, how did you manipulate?
Well,
just,
it's funny
know,
you should ask, because really all I want to do is have some fun. But you know what? If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. But sometimes a change would do you good.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, to me, and that's, again, why I love the iPod, because I can just have, I can know exactly how great an artist is. They just, one after another. And you can do that. You know, there are, look, in this, your business, if you have one hit, you can work forever, somewhere.
I have to tell you a funny story, though.
But if to do a whole show of hits,
yes.
You're that kind of act, and
very
that's
lucky.
Why they'll always come out.
So yeah. I wound up on a gig with Lana Richie and Billy Joel in Atlanta, and which was, I have to say, really, really fun. I was the first one on, and in the backstage area, I come back, and Lionel's like, Cheryl, come in here. And he pulls me into Billy's dressing room. He's like, the three of us, we have hits. We've got to go on a world tour. We got to take this thing on a world tour. Hits all night long, just nothing but hits. And then he turns around to me. It was like Borscht Belt. Cheryl, you know when you play new songs? I was like, no, never. You never play them. He's like, they don't want to hear new songs. They just want to hear the hits. And now every time I play, I'm like, been told never to play new songs, but I'm going to play a new song. And now I have a new record, so it's like, I guess I never play new songs. But
it won't be, you
know. You sneak one in here or, you know,
yeah,
them in.
I know how they do it.
Yeah. And then they go to the bathroom while you're playing it or hopefully buy a T-shirt.
Yeah, but in 5 years, that record will be... There will be songs from that record that will be feathered in, and they'll probably like those, you know, too.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe.
I mean, it's
sort of aged out of having, you know, hits. So,
well, who knows even what makes a hit? Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's hard to. I remember McCartney put out a really great album in 1989, "Flowers in the Dirt."
I love that record.
And I thought it was like, he did it with Elvis Costello.
Yes, I
so
remember.
It was like one of the, it could have stood as a Beatle record.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that good.
Yeah.
And that Beatle-esque sound. And of course, he was 47 at the time. So it just, you know, that generation is just going to say, no, I'm sorry. You had your moment. I don't care how good it is, you know, dispassionately.
Try being 62 and a woman, you know.
Right.
So, although, I mean, it is fun.
Well.
I wouldn't stop making records. I don't know about albums. I did make this an album because I had so many songs. But it's weird to put music out and know that a song is going to turn up maybe on a playlist with, like, Ice Spice. I mean, it's just, it's so antithetical. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're on New Music Friday and you're, like, blocked between, if you're lucky.
But you go to football games,
you know,
with her, right?
Actually, yes, I was at a ball game with her.
Really?
Yes. About 20 sections away.
Oh.
Yeah.
But wasn't she at the Super Bowl with Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Boy, if Taylor Swift thinks that she invented the breakup song, oh, I said this to somebody recently. First of all, she's got to listen to You're So Vain, Carly Simon. That kind of like...
There's not a better one than that.
Well, there is not a better one, but Alone in the Dark by Sheryl Crow.
Oh, my God.
Was that a single?
I love it. Hell no.
No? Really?
No.
Oh, that's a real shiv in the
gut.
Are
you wearing like a earpiece? Is
Why,
there somebody
you think
in the other
I'm so
room
old
going,
I can't hear?
Alone in the Dark.
No, no.
I can't believe you know all these like deep cuts.
Well, anybody who works here will tell you, I'm a very big music fan. So I know what I know.
That's
now,
awesome.
Do I know, can I name every song on every album? No, but I have stuff from every album.
Yeah.
I have the ones that I really adore. Steve McQueen. Which one is that? That was a single.
That was a single. Yeah, that was on the third
I love
record,
the,
fourth record.
That's in the tradition of the cool chick who's too cool to get tied down genre.
Oh, yeah.
Which
that was
is
me.
So sexy.
Oh, my God. On
like
that
this free...
video, I got on my dirt bike. I mean, God.
Oh, really? See, I don't remember the videos.
In fact, I was hanging out with Dale Earnhardt in that video, and...
Oh,
never
really?
Getting married.
Right, because Steve McQueen, well, I need is a fast machine, right?
Yeah.
But do you remember the Stone Ponies, Linda Ronstadt?
Yeah, of course.
Doing Different Drum?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
That's that same, we travel to a different drum, can't you see the way I run?
Yes,
every time
yes.
you make eyes at me, don't get me wrong, it's not that I knock it. It's just that I'm not in the market. What a great rhyme.
Knock it and
for
market.
For someone who wants to love just only me.
Yeah.
I ain't saying you ain't pretty. All I'm saying is I'm not ready for any person, place, or thing that tries to put the reins in on me, bitch.
Damn.
So that kind of song, I think, we should do a whole like album of just those.
I could probably
Free
write an
Bird,
album of
Get Off My... Get, you don't know me like that. Get up off of me songs.
You know, I've had this this long-standing introduction to Strong Enough to Be My Man about how I never got married. Got engaged 3 times.
What? You did?
Still have all my money. Never
you
got
engaged
divorced.
To Lance Armstrong?
I was.
You know, he sat right there a few months ago?
I actually caught the very beginning of that.
Oh.
And I saw Bobby Kidd. I've seen actually quite a few of them.
Wow, what an intense guy.
Is he?
Lance Armstrong?
Well, yeah. Well,
who would know better than you?
I don't know him now in this incarnation because he's...
Wasn't he then?
Yeah, he was then, but he was racing then and, you know.
I know, but like...
He was intense,
just to pick that as a profession, riding a bike.
Well,
of course you got it. Intense.
I will say my 16-year-old is on a bass fishing team, which I didn't know was actually a sport. So when I met Lance, I was like, bike riding, that's
it's not,
a sport?
It's not.
So, yeah, I didn't realize.
Bass
fishing
is not a sport. Either is running around the block. But they may be in the Olympics.
I'm going to have to dispute that with you just as long as I know my kid might be watching this.
Oh.
It is a sport.
Well,
and the damn bass boat costs $70,000,
now,
okay? It's not like buying a baseball bat, okay? Baseball bat's $350, honey. Oh, my God.
But so, you still drink beer. You still drink beer.
I do.
What drugs did you do back in the day?
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Like, the rock
my
star
wilder
life.
My wilder days were drinking, smoking weed, you know, smoking cigarettes because I was super cool when I was drunk.
Me too.
And
cigarettes. That's the one I regret.
Yeah, I don't have the addict gene, so I could just like not smoke for, you know. Then I would have 3 glasses of red wine and be like bumming cigarettes, you know.
Wow. So very few people don't have the addict gene for nicotine.
I do not have it. I didn't ever start the habit of like smoking when I was not drinking. So I don't know if I would have been, but I don't know. Just did a guided mushroom tour recently, or guided mushroom journey, which I don't call that. I call it a tour. It was a tour through my very effed up brain, if you know what I'm saying.
What do you mean? What are we talking about?
Have you ever a guided psilocybin?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Guided, though.
Yeah, through Johns Hopkins.
How bougie. To have a guided fucking drug trip.
I know. See, the thing is, you can do mushrooms. I'm like,
but what do you mean guided?
So you do it.
But you've done mushrooms before, no?
Yes, but not like medicinal, like full powered.
You mean it was
a 2.5 hour or 3 hour, where they give you some and then you take more, and you do it with a playlist.
We're not talking about ayahuasca here. We're talking about mushrooms.
No, no.
Because mushrooms I've done many times.
So.
And I, you know, it's a trip.
Yeah.
I mean.
So.
What does the guide do?
The guide is.
On your left.
They say, if you look to the cerebellum, try not to look over to the, I think more than anything, what they do is make sure that you're not, if you're not a person who like does recreational drugs, it's more from a scientific standpoint for people who struggle with manic depression or depression or whatever it is.
Right. And I think it's very helpful.
Yes. It was,
I mean,
it was helpful.
LSD started out as that.
Until Timothy Leary got a hold of it.
You know, that chair over there is his chair.
Seriously?
Well,
did you watch or did you ever listen to the Michael Pollan stuff?
Yeah, the food guy.
So interesting. Yes.
Right.
No. Yeah, but he did
a book on, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And then what? Fantastic fungi, that documentary.
Well, don't get me started on fungus. No, seriously.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer that it's something that we don't pay the kind of attention to we should. I think Western medicine sees everything as bacterial.
Yeah.
And they misdiagnose stuff. And fungus is, I think, responsible for stuff that even the CDC a few years ago finally said, if you don't know what something is, look to fungus.
Yes.
And that was like many years late.
Yeah.
So, like I said, don't get me started.
I know, I agree. This is a whole different podcast.
I mean,
this is a whole different
for those who want to look
so
more
with you.
I'm
so with you.
Yeah,
I'm fungus.
Man.
Yeah, man. I want to be in the fungus club.
Fuck fungus. When HBO did that show, they had a show. It was a huge hit.
What was it?
It was called
How to Change Your Mind?
Last of Us. I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about
it.
The villain in it was, fungus.
Shut up.
And I said, finally, somebody's getting on the fungus thing. Because,
oh, the villain. Like, not
yeah,
the
Yeah, well, the
not
villain
the
in the sense
device.
That.
Okay.
Well, this, whatever was taking over people and turning them into zombies.
Okay.
Everything has to, you have to either be a zombie or a Dracula.
Yes.
Come on, this is
TV. Yeah.
But the thing that was behind it was fungus. I was like, yes, that's much more likely than, you know.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, so many cancers are diagnosed as cancer when they're fungal.
Well.
My dog, case in point.
Well, do you know when they want to, what they do when they want to give mice cancer in the lab?
They saute some mushrooms and.
Basically.
Really?
They give them mycotoxins.
That's a
you know.
Yeah.
Fungus toxin. Penicillin.
Yeah.
Antibiotics are sometimes or often.
Weren't they derived from the fungus that
moldy
grew
bread.
On, yeah, moldy bread.
Okay. So the connection, I'm not saying I know the connection, but I've certainly read about the subject and people have their theories, and it looks like there is quite a connection between cancer and fungal infection and, you know.
But the crazy thing about it is that when they do studies about, like, forestry, how fungus or mushrooms create their own.
Yes.
The way they can actually go in.
Absolutely.
And save some trees by creating their
yes.
own antibiotics. I mean, I think there's so many amazing possibilities, not just for humans, but also for the planet. I mean, at this moment when we're asleep at the wheel and nobody seems to give a shit about the planet because we're too worried about making sure. It drives me crazy how we're turning a blank eye to this or a blind eye. But anyway, the fact that mushrooms could be a huge answer to what's happening, to
yes,
at least preserve
or a huge problem. I mean, they can kill us. I mean, you don't want to breathe in mold.
No, not mold. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, fungus is really strong. Almost every plant in nature is antifungal because it needs to be. Because plants don't have legs, they can't run away.
Right.
And then they can repel it. But take a lemon, like the most antifungal thing. It's pure citrus.
Right, right.
You leave it on the counter long enough, what does it look like?
Yeah.
It has mold all over it.
Yeah, and it'll eat fungus through a marble countertop.
Fungus is unrelenting. I'm a hawk on fungus.
Fungus is unrelenting. The name of our new podcast.
Extremism and the fight against fungus is no vice, and moderation is no virtue. I'm a one-issue candidate. I'm a hawk on fungus, and I'm going to attack anyone who's to my left on this issue. But it is true. I mean, fungus, you should, you know, people should think about fungus more, like sinal infections. I don't want to get started.
But I will say, for people who have struggled with depression, people who have, you know, mental challenges that the studies they've done at Johns Hopkins for years, it was shut down. They saw great outcomes for people with PTSD. You know, I think at least people are starting to get back to the place where they can look at some of these natural, holistic as being at least worth, you know, legalizing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think the amount of mushrooms that you took for psychological reasons would be the kind that would be bad for you. And by the way,
right.
if you don't have a fungal infection, it's not, you can eat mushrooms and, you know, your body has in it fungus that is natural, that you need some good bacteria, some bad bacteria,
yeah.
and some fungus. It's when you get the proportions out of whack. Antibiotics kill the good bacteria, which fight with the fungus for food. That's how we kill bacteria. But
yeah.
when they kill the bad bacteria, they kill the good bacteria.
Exactly.
And then the fungus proliferate.
Right.
Anybody who's had antibiotics probably has some level of a fungal infection.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And fungus live on one thing, sugar. So you always feed them when you're eating the kind of things that are in the American diet, syrups and sugar and carbohydrates,
yeah.
that kind of stuff feeds, when you're hungry like that, it's the fungus calling out for food.
Yeah.
I told you not to get me started on fungus.
I didn't know you knew so much about mushrooms.
Fungus.
No one told me.
Fungus. I'm telling you, we could own it.
This could be a 3-hour podcast, okay?
Only about fungus. And every week, but yes. only about fungus. It's like those stores that say, like, only lamps, you know? you go in, excuse me, do you have shades? I'm sure that happens once a day.
Only
and the guy goes,
lamps.
What do I have to fucking put in the title? It says only lamps. What do I have to do?
Lazy boys.
But, no, I mean, you could do a, morning talk show, if that's something you could be on The View. What do you think about that,
no.
Cheryl?
No and no.
Come on.
Unequivocally, it pay?
The ratings would be through the roof, I swear to God. First of all, you're from Missouri?
Here's my thing.
Right?
I don't really like people. No, I'm kidding. I'm from Missouri, yes.
Okay. So, like, you have that accent, you know?
Have an accent?
Yeah, you still sound country.
Well, I live in Nashville now.
Okay, but it's also in your
roots.
And
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm kidding.
That's good, because everything
good.
Is tilted toward the coastal elites and their people. And they so
like, the entire coast has moved to Nashville.
That's true, too.
Yes, it is. And, yeah. we'll see how that plays out in politics. You know, most of LA lives in Nashville now.
Well, Nashville and Austin seem to be the kind of places.
Yeah.
And I get it. To a degree, Miami, but Miami's too crazy.
Yeah.
But like places where people want to go, where, no, I don't want to live in the sticks with a bunch of hicks, but I also don't want to live, you know, at the park in Beverly Hills where you can't throw a frisbee.
Yeah.
Yes. Because of that kind of asshole. Is there a place in America where I can, like, get away from those extremes? That's
where I can work from home.
Yeah, where I can, like...
And I can buy a really nice house for about a tenth of the price.
And the money.
And have a giant yard.
Right.
Yeah, no, we're getting.
But also, I'm sure, you know, Nashville's not a hick town.
It is.
It's where all the musicians
like a,
are.
It's like a little, I would say it's...
There's places.
It's a, I can't say it's like Austin where it's like a blue oasis. I mean, I think it's,
and does
it it's need, probably the bluest in all of Tennessee.
And it doesn't need to be.
No.
Well, I'm just
we have a mix.
Having a place yeah. where we can get a nice dinner.
You can get a nice dinner.
Right.
You can go
get
see
a
the,
nice...
you can see Kings of Leon, or you can go
exactly.
see Vince
right.
Gill,
right.
or, you know.
Yeah. I mean.
Jack White.
Right. It doesn't have
Harry
the
Underwood.
Metropolitan Museum of Art, but I never went there anyway.
Who goes to those places?
Eggheads. That's who. I mean, everybody in New York is always like, the museums. I'm like, how often do you go to a museum, you fucking...
You go there once a year.
Well, no. I mean, I was never a culture vulture. I mean, I like culture.
Culture vulture. I like that.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing,
good
though.
Song
you
title.
Find a culture vulture.
Are you always looking?
Unique New York. Unique New York. Unique New York. Sorry, I have kids. It's what we do.
But, like, are you always doing that? Like, you're like a blue jay who's always finding little scraps, you know, blue jays for the nest because, you know, oh, this could go, this is a, could go in a song, this could be a title.
Oh, you
know. You
mean like, am I collecting constantly?
You should be.
Like fodder? Like,
yeah,
yes.
Aren't you?
Oh, my God. Used to, when I would be making a record, or getting ready to make a record. Like, we'd have a record out, we'd have success, we'd tour, I'd come home, I'd start writing, and it would be like, okay, what am I writing about? You know, lots of frantic, like checking what notes have I written. Now, my kids leave for school, I go out to my screen and porch, notepad, guitar, cup of tea, and I write my freaking brains out.
Really?
There's so much to write about right now.
Cup of
and
tea?
Honestly,
you mean literally a cup of tea or?
Literally, no, coffee in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm talking about 6:30 in the morning.
No, I get done a lot done on coffee.
Yeah.
I really value that time, like, because it's only once a day.
Me too.
You know?
I have 3 cups of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, right. You
that's
can't.
How
about once a day, first thing, and then by the time you sleep, it.
Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. My kids know it. They're like, don't talk to her.
Right. And they abide by that? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yes. In fact, my 13-year-old is the exact same way. We're just like.
So it's you and the kids in a house outside of Nashville.
We're not in downtown Nashville. We're in Nashville.
And then you have a studio, I'm guessing, in your house, of course.
Over the barn. I have horses.
Over the barn.
Yes. It's idyllic.
It's, oh, come on.
Who lives like me? Me.
Yeah. And do you, can you like. You have like a fireman's pole. You can get right down into the barn
like
when,
one
you
of these?
Wanna, when you
want
to.
No.
No, that's a stripper pole.
Yeah, no, I know. I recognize it from was, Kid Rock's house.
Hey,
okay?
it was here when I bought the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's necessary for wiring.
Oh, yes. No, I don't have a fireman's pole. Actually, I don't even go down there unless I'm like going to record. And I didn't do any recording on this record. I sent it to my friend and said, these are my mini screenplays, and I want you to Martin Scorsese the shit out of them. And it was the most glorious experience I've ever had.
I don't understand.
Okay, so I usually produce myself, and I usually am like from the beginning to the end, and playing and writing. And this bunch of songs, because you know the last record I put out, I said I'm not making records anymore. No more albums.
Be Myself? Was that it?
No, it was Threads.
And Threads.
It was like
with everybody.
Yes, with lots of people.
Again, you pick these songs that are like.
Oh man, well, I'll tell you what. The song though with Johnny Cash and having him in my ear, I just had this weird, like,
because he was
11:30 at night, dead. But I just all the conversations I'd had with him before he recorded it, I don't know. I came out of there. I was like, I'm not going to make albums anymore. This is,
well,
it's done.
Maybe just not duets with dead people. Maybe that's the issue.
I actually prefer duets with dead. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
They can't complain.
That is not
true.
That is not true.
Well, anyway, that's a great, because Tony Bennett just called. No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Get me.
But,
no. So this record, there's just like the AI thing is what started it. Reading about the Beatles, and I don't fault them,
right.
But I was conflicted about that.
I do fault them.
And then the George Carlin thing,
yep,
sent me.
Yes.
I mean, it sent me.
No, we're.
I paced. Oh. Literally, my kids would leave for school, and I'm like, "What the? What are we doing here?"
Have you seen the Billy Joel, the new Billy Joel song video?
No.
Okay.
Am I gonna want to go hang myself and then?
Why? Because it's bad.
No. What are we doing now with AI?
They, Billy Joel came out with his first song in 30 years. He debuted at the Grammys, and it's
and that wasn't really him. That was AI.
No, no. But for the video, they have him singing it as himself now, but also as him singing this new song that he only wrote now when he's 28 and 35 and 42 and
okay.
So, and it's
here's my thing about that.
It's terrible.
He's alive.
He's
okay, and here, yeah. I mean, he is. Harrison Ford did that whole latest.
I saw it. Yeah,
where they've manipulated his face to make him look younger.
And
right?
The Irishman, De Niro, and they de-aged them.
Yes, and of course me on social media with lots of filters. Same thing. No, I'm kidding. but it's one thing if you're alive. And you are controlling the image that you're putting out, and you can actually address, we use AI. But if you're using somebody else and manipulating, I mean, it's beyond deep fakes where it's like, I don't know. I mean, I actually called my attorney and was like, this is a weird thing. It's like negotiating real estate and space, which I know our countries are doing, where they're deciding who's owning what parts of space, which I find to be like, for me, I'm just like, I don't want anything to do. I don't want my image coming out. I don't want my voice coming out. I don't want any of my old demos coming out.
Right.
I want it in writing for posterity. And I want it locked in something where AI can't get in there and change my words.
Is scariest is that when you look at the history of like when the technology comes along and does something horrible, their reaction seems to be, what are you going to do? It's technology. We can't do anything about it.
Yes.
Think about, remember Napster?
Napster.
Okay.
Perfect.
So first the technology comes along. We're going to steal it now.
Except for me and Don Henley, who are on Capitol Hill every 10, like we're there every Tuesday, like trying to fight for stuff. And
right.
And the Senate subcommittees are all saying, well, it's already here.
Right.
Well, you can't do anything about it now.
So they gave up on that. Then Spotify streaming comes in and they gave up on like the basic model of business.
Yeah. Yes.
So why would I think now that this technology, they're not going to give up again on somehow guardrailing this shit because...
Well, they can't do it now. And for one thing, we're frogs in a pot. Because, you know that phrase, frogs in a pot?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. So I was talking to my kids about it. I worked with this amazing young songwriter recently who's written on tons of shit. And she played me a demo. It was a demo that she had written with a couple of people, and she sang it, and she's like, I needed a guy to sing it. So I paid $5 and got John Mayer's voice, and she played me the demo, and it's John Mayer singing.
$5. What's the $5 for?
She paid a service. It's like ChatGPT, but instead you insert somebody's voice, and it replicates
and
his voice, like not only his voice, but his... in his inflections, his style. I started crying. I was just like, I know John. There's no way I would not know this was him. And
for $5.
And I said, and she was talking about the ChatGPT thing and how she could put stuff in. And it's not always good, but it gets your brain started. And there's always a couple of good lines. And I just was like, you're 21. I know this is this is what you're growing up in. I know this is normal for you.
Right.
But what is not normal about it, which you will never know, is that the thing that creates art is like, it's the human experience. It's not a computer's experience.
And that's why I think we will survive to a degree, because the audience, at some level, they don't know how to read anymore. It's a joke to think they would get through a whole book. They actually make jokes about that, a book.
Or a whole song. We don't get paid unless they listen to it for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, but people do still listen to whole songs.
Bill Maher does.
Even the kids listen to songs. I mean, I don't think their attention span is so short that they can't get through a song if they like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They'll listen to a Zach Bryan song all the way through.
Who? Yeah, I don't know who that is. Zach Bryan?
What do you live in the... Yeah.
No, I don't. I just don't. I haven't caught up to him.
I mean, I can't explain it to you.
Why is he so great?
He was in the military, young kid, started posting songs on TikTok and became massive. And we went out and opened up for him, and it was like the Beatles. I've never seen anything like it. I've never... Not since the Beatles have I ever seen anything like it. Seriously.
Well, we didn't see the Beatles. We were too young.
Yeah.
Even us.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the footage. 30,000, 40,000 kids with no hits, singing every word, hanging on his every... I've just learned from TikTok.
Well, we'll see in 10 years if he's like the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because...
From your mouth to God's ears.
Well, I mean, everybody... Look, music is, like we were just saying, it's so primal.
I know.
So, like, he's not the first one to come out and look like the Beatles for 10 minutes. You know, they are who they are. Because they were always one step ahead of the audience. Can this guy, maybe he can, maybe he's a genius. What do you think of the music? You described the crowd reaction, but what about the music itself?
Yeah, well, it's a taste thing. It's a taste thing. You know.
Well, there's a dodge. Okay, so you don't think he's some musical genius.
It's not that. Truth be told, there's a whole lane of music now that sort of falls into the Americana, but actually it's sort of like old school country, like Tyler Childress, Zach Bryan, and they're writing songs about hard living people with real struggles.
Yeah, the guy.
And it's three chords, four chords, and well, it's not, good. It's good. It really is good.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. I mean, for whatever reason, it's resonating with 16-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds. And I'm down with it. I'm here for it. They're writing stories. It's not six-second attention span. We're going to, we got to keep the listener in it. It's like old school verse, chorus that only changes a tiny bit. You know, it's like Americana.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying, like, I don't put any labels on things. A good song is a good song.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember you did some album. I have it. I have them all.
Okay.
And it's like, they said it was your country album.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I see what they were saying, because they always want to glom on and get some sort of story. So they could make a story. But it was just a good album. It was just a Sheryl Crow album. Yeah, there were some songs...
They were geared more towards that.
Well, I love it. The one about the mascara running.
Yes.
Which is like so...
That's why I wear waterproof mascara.
But what's the next line? Because it don't run like...
Because it won't run like...
Like his daddy did.
Like his daddy.
Which is like so close to parody.
Yeah.
Like that's so close.
You know who I wrote that with? Brad Paisley.
Brad, he was sitting here.
He was?
Yes, loved him. He's quite a great guy.
He's one of my favorite people.
Yes.
He is funny.
Yes,
but
funny.
But also, he's not what you think. He doesn't live in that, like,
but he's also a guy who's from that era, from that part of the country. You know, believe me, there are things that the woke could find to hate about him.
I love that word, woke.
I don't.
Okay, well, here's my thing. That is a funny thing that came out of my conversation with Kid Rock. I have to call him Bobby, about being woke, because he says you're so woke. And I was like, first of all, you quit calling me names. And secondly, maybe I'm woke. That was an old term that was derived from
right.
slavery.
Well, after that, I think, but it meant being alert to injustice.
Alert to injustice.
I'm all down with that.
I know.
It just morphed into something that was an eye roll.
Yes.
I didn't do that. They did that.
Yes, I know. And I told them, I was like, I'm so down with being woke if it means wanting this country to run for all of us.
Here's a story that was in the news this week. Somebody wrote in The Atlantic. He used to work at the New York Times, talked about New York Times.
I love The Atlantic. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's one of my go-tos.
Yeah.
It's hard to find fair pieces written anymore.
Okay, exactly. You only get one side of every story.
Yeah. Anyway, go
ahead. So he's at the orientation, for the new people at the New York Times, I think it was.
Okay.
And for some reason they're asking going around the room or something, and what do you want for lunch? And he says, Chick-fil-A. And they go, the head of the thing said, no, we don't do that here. They hate gay people. And then all the people in the room start snapping their fingers like they're beatniks in 1950. Yeah, man.
It's like West Side Story.
It's like stupid side story.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, we can't eat Chick-fil-A. You know what? I will eat Chick-fil-A and Bud Light. I'll put them together in a beer can chicken
if I fucking want. You can't get me started on this.
That kind of attitude is just so obnoxious.
I know. And honestly, if you get me started, my publicist will run in here in a minute and she's got to go. I mean, it drives me.
Why? I said it.
It drives us
all crazy.
Crazy.
And by the way, the good people in this country are with us. It was in the paper today. The number one concern most people have is extremism. They fucking hate it.
This is what worries me between you and I. Is that a pot leaf on that guitar?
This is made of hemp.
It is?
Yeah. This was a gift.
Okay. You can totally tell I'm ADD, right? Because it's like squirrel, pot leaf.
What do you,
I was just saying
Willie
something really
and,
astute.
It's like...
Oh, that's amazing.
It's an amazing thing. Can you really play it? No.
That sounds really bad.
Well, it's not tuned. It's made out of hemp.
Can you smoke it? Here, let's
the
light
guitar?
This. Let's light
it would be an odd way to re-gift it, but, I guess I... Uh-oh. No, you can't smoke hemp. Hemp doesn't get
you
high.
No, you can't smoke it. You can wear it, though.
Yes.
No, what I was going to say is my kids come home with the most unbelievable questions, right? So I grew up in a really small town, 3 stoplights, cornfields, but we were close to the Blytheville Air Force Base.
The what?
Blytheville, Arkansas Air Force Base, which was the biggest Air Force Base in America. And this is at the end of, this is like 72, I was 10 years old. I think I'm older than you. How old are you?
No, I'm 68.
Okay, I'm 62. So, but I'm a super young, 36-year-old, 62.
Yes,
but,
you are. True that.
I remember, I don't know if I came home from school and some kid had said, the first place they'll bomb in America will be Blytheville and we'll all be, incinerated. Mm. Well, that's the only time in my childhood I remember ever being afraid of my parents saying, ridiculous, right? Which probably wasn't, but my kids now come home with crazy questions. Will they go to a Christian school? And they come home with bizarre questions that...
They do?
Yes. They come home with questions that, their friends are coming into school with from hearing their parents. And this religious support that Trump has is very perplexing, that people in the Christian world believe that he's chosen.
Literally chosen by God.
Yes, and...
Who better?
Meanwhile, because we have many gay people in our lives and in our family that we love, and they come home and they just, they're funny, things that are supposed to be funny jokes, about gender, because these are the things that Trump's fighting against. It's confounding, and it's also as a parent, it's very. I can say is when my kid was in 8th grade, we toured Arlington Cemetery, his 8th grade class, and I walked there, and I was just thinking, man, these people that fought for what the country's supposed to stand for all people. Are rolling right now. I mean, I'm scratching my head going, we can all live here.
I mean, first of all, I don't think Trump is specifically fighting gender stuff. I think has no, compass at all. So
I agree.
If people he needs say something anti-gender that's inappropriate, like he probably won't slap them down for it. But I don't think, he's a libertine from New York. That's not his thing. I mean, he just got out of a rape trial, for God's sake. He grabs pussies, the Melania thing, whatever the fuck that is. And so I just don't think that's where people are. I'm not most worried about him there. He just came out with his abortion proposal, which is 16 weeks, which is about what they have in Europe. Sometimes
okay, I have not seen that.
Yeah, sometimes it's even less than that. Oh, the Republicans are they know they're in real trouble because they finally caught the car. The dog caught the car. They got rid of abortion rights, and Americans fucking hate it. Men hate it. Women hate it. Everybody fucking hates kids. I understand. And they don't want kids they don't want to have. And they really, this is the Democrats' best issue by far. Their worst.
Right.
Biden's age, that's their worst issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their best is this.
Yeah.
People want someone to fight for, now they're going after the embryos. Did you see that in Alabama?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
I mean, embryos, like just like the goo in the Petri dish is an 8-year-old.
We should give, if embryos are alive, we should give them the right to vote.
Well, we don't give 8-year-olds the right to vote, but we give them a lot of rights that they shouldn't have.
Yes, we do.
And were you a runaway bride all these three times that you didn't get married, that you were engaged?
My first engagement, I was 21. I was engaged to a born-again Christian who partied like it was the end of the world and then repented the next day. And he broke it off, which was really good. And then my second one, I was engaged to a lovely person I'm still good friends with, but we actually, by the time we were getting ready to be married, we were so platonic that it seemed like, bleh. And then
the third
one was
Lance. I never did it.
Yeah. I mean, most people I know that are married are not that happy, so I'm like, but I'm also 62. I mean, I want to just be with people I like. And,
exactly.
I want to laugh. Sex would be great, but, only if it's somebody that makes me laugh.
Right. I mean, it's trickier for women. You got to have your,
Yeah, men. I don't want to get pregnant.
Well.
Especially in a state where I can't get an
abortion.
But
also emotionally, psychologically, men can, I think have sex without, something being all that serious easier.
Yeah.
And especially as you get older.
Oh, I can have sex and not care about the person.
Yeah, I guess you can.
I'm kidding.
I forgot who I was talking to.
I'm kidding.
I'm talking to rock and roll.
So I'm a rock star, okay?
What do you think is the most rock and roll thing you ever did? Like, because...
I wouldn't tell you.
Really?
No. Probably not. I mean, I've made out with a few people.
Well, that's not even that. I'm talking about...
Rock... Let me just put it to you like this, Bill. There is a book in here, but some people are going to have to die first. So... And it might be me, so I might write the book and then...
Let me put you
like
together.
Like Rock Hudson, just put it out.
Together with my publisher.
Yeah.
He'll take care of the deaths.
I think my publicist is all over it. She's like, take this down.
I think you're past the point where anyone will ever get mad at you unless you're...
I have to do it quick, though, before I start forgetting all of it. It does start to get...
Your mind moves the furniture. I've known this because... Well, yeah, because like I've known this in a way that's undeniable by reading over like notebooks or some diary of something I had. And in my mind, I had a memory of like this incident, which I would have sworn I would have sold the house on it, that it took place in Washington, D.C. and it took place in London. That was the incident when I read over. And somewhere along the way, over the years, my mind moved that from
London. Do you take notes? Like, did you?
Well, at the time, this happened 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was at the time I was like, I did keep like a journal, like one, like every one few months, I would write down like what happened in the last 3 months. I don't know why I was doing
that. I wish I would have done that.
Yeah, no, I was a pretty good caveman. I've saved a lot of, I mean, look, like See that Diana Ross and the Supremes?
Yeah.
That's from an album. Like when they put posters in albums. Like I saved that.
Yeah.
Like
that, okay, that I have
Elvis.
Some of that
see
stuff
that
too.
Elvis one? Yeah. That was a poster in an album.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And you just have them framed and they're like, that means so much more. They're my Mad magazine.
Yes. Oh, Mad magazine.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
that
was so off limits when I was a kid. That and what was the precursor, Vanity Fair? What was the
Lampoon?
No, I feel like Graydon Carter was part.
Oh, Spy.
Spy magazine.
Spy, yeah. Spy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spy was not. Like, Mad was like broad.
Mad was broad.
Lampoon was the best. That Lampoon was truly a brilliant satirical magazine.
Yeah.
And then Spy was arch. It wasn't that laugh out fun, loud
no,
funny.
No, it wasn't.
It was very...
Much more sardonic and much more sort of not literati,
yes,
but more intellectual.
It was for mostly Upper East Side New Yorkers.
Yes.
You know, it was pretty rarefied air. But they did some great stuff.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, Vanity Fair.
People ask me like, what's a regret or whatever. There's one thing I wish I would have done was to write one sentence at least every day. Because journaling to me meant writing, like with a project or a song, and it just felt like work to me. So I never journaled. I mean, on the odd occasion I would journal, but I would journal in the context of, oh, I got a record coming out, you know, or record coming up. I need to start thinking about what I'm going to write about. But because I can't remember, and my tour manager or my manager will bring up stuff, and I'll go, shit, I didn't even remember that, you know? Just crazy, weird little things along the way makes me mad.
No, I'm always fascinated by what the mind remembers, because it seems to be just absolutely no rhyme or reason to what, like, you'll have whole swaths of time will have disappeared, but... One little thing that happened one night and it wasn't even significant.
Yeah. Well,
you'll remember.
My mom has dementia right now, and that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I've known people, but not somebody as close to me as my mom is.
Because I don't know you?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's just weird between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But what happens is she is stuck in a moment where she talks a ton, but it relates to a specific time that none of us really understand. She talks about the people in the group, and the group is going to be, we think it has something to do maybe with her relationship to who she was in our church, but it's weird, but it always comes out in that context. And her language, her vocabulary is really limited to that specific story. Now, I'm sure it's not that way with all people who have dementia, but the brain, it's terrifying.
Well, you know, Glenn Campbell.
Yes.
Before.
Did you know Glenn? Oh, no.
No, I mean, no, I did not. Oh. I mean,
you started laughing. No,
no. I mean, our paths were very far from crossing. He was on TV when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like,
he had a TV show.
Yeah, back in the day when they gave singers like variety hours and you had to do sketches. And,
no,
but
I
then
was
you'd
born
sing,
in the wrong period.
Like a Wichita lineman.
And here comes Yvonne Carlisle.
Yes. Yeah, stuff like that.
Welcome, but, Nipsey
so
Russell.
So he was already, you know, Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yeah.
And, I love those. That was when I was first listening to the radio. Galveston.
Yeah.
Wichita Lineman. Gentle on My Mind.
Oh, Gentle on My Mind. Wichita Lineman, that was just one of the greatest of all time.
Gentle on My Mind, lyrically.
Yeah.
What a song.
Yeah.
I mean, that one is a killer, right? Poetry. That was Jim Webb.
Jim Webb, yeah, he also did
a lot of great stuff.
I got to meet him.
Yeah, what? It's the same
amazing.
Thing.
Amazing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say another guy who tried to
try to pick me up. No,
why? Who?
Not
you
at
can't
all.
Blame them.
No,
for
no,
that.
No, no, not at all. No, just amazing. Like I literally was like
great.
A student. Like, oh my God, I love you so much.
Wow. Yeah, but anyway,
so
Glenn Campbell. Would be like he doesn't know where he is and who he's talking to, and then you get on stage and the song
still
like
in there.
A rhinestone
there's
something obviously music again the primal thing when you hear the song it triggers something in the brain that it, he was able to, I mean, that's really amazing that somebody in that case could do a concert.
Yes. And what's weird about it, too, is to have it be so rote and then to walk off and not know.
Right.
My mom is an amazing singer, and we grew up singing always. And last time I was home, I got out the Great Book, which is a Reader's Digest great book, and played everything from Alfie to...
Alfie.
And my mom doesn't really stand so much.
Why
so
Alfie?
She's sitting next to the piano, sitting next to me on the piano bench, and she's singing just like she always did. Mm. And then she grabs the piano and she stands up and starts really singing. And I'm just like, oh, there she is. That's my mom. She is.
Okay, but
she's
why singing. Alfie?
No, every song from that, like Burt Bacharach,
right. It's such
Rodgers
a great
Hammerstein,
song.
All the stuff that.
Oh, Burt Bacharach.
I mean, please.
That's when
Walk
people
on by. I mean, she was singing, like everything I played, she knew all the words. She even sang Moon River, you know.
That's just
like her old self. It's weird. Music just like.
Who wrote Moon River?
Mancini.
Henry Mancini. Andy Williams, I think, had the. That's
yes,
even before my time.
Yes, but, he did.
But when people say, you know, three chord rock and roll, I always think, yeah, I guess there's some songs that are good with three chords. I'm not gonna, but give me Burt Bacharach, who always has
Any Day of the Week.
Any Day Now, you mean?
Any Day of the Week.
But the song Burt Any Bacharach. Day Now?
Oh, Any the, Day Now. No.
Yes, you just sang it.
Yeah, that's Burt.
Yes.
Any Day Now?
Yes. Covered by Elvis, covered by Luther Vandross. Any Day Now.
Yes. Okay, as soon as I walk out of here, I'm going to go like, Shazam, or Spotify, play me Any Day Now.
That's Burt Bacharach, one of his early, I know. Great song.
Unbelievable.
But always very unpredictable. And
yes.
I'm not a musician or anything like that, but I've seen the charts, and it's not three chords.
You want to hear something funny?
Or any chord you ever heard of.
I did a gig where I got to sing... One Less Bell to Answer. Hold me.
One less egg to fry.
We should take it on the road.
One less man to
pick
look up after.
I should be happy, but all I do is cry.
That's the Fifth Dimension.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
They were so great.
So I got to sing that, and he was playing the piano.
Wow.
Bert was. And he stopped, and he's like, you don't want a back phrase. Let's just sing the melody as it is. And I was just like, yes, sir. I mean, he was very, not rude.
Right.
Just this is the way the arc of the melody is. It was written that way, and this is how it works. And, I got to sing with him after that, but I was like, he's Burt Bacharach.
Yeah, and he deserves that.
Yes.
And
I literally was like,
yeah,
I will not backphrase. I will
say
that.
I don't even know what that is, but
yeah, you can't go one less bell to answer.
Well, I think he made a good
one less egg to fry.
I think he made a good call. I got to say.
I don't know.
Otherwise,
I was just
like
trying
to
like Lady Gaga.
I could see a whole video of that version if I could. That is really. But
crazy
Burt
shit,
Bacharach. What are some of the songs that, like, I know musicians all like, and of course you are a great coverer of songs. What are some of the other ones you cover? Oh, Solitaire? Why do I have that?
That's a great song.
Yeah, The Carpenters. Oh, it must have been on the...
It was on the Carpenters Tribute. Who wrote that song?
I don't know.
I want to say Paul Williams. You remember that guy?
He wrote a lot of them.
Yeah.
He wrote
I think he did write it. Maybe.
He wrote a couple of those.
Sure.
He was very...
I'll tell you another cover we did was that Eric Carmen song.
I think I know what you mean.
Eric Carmen.
Yeah, I know. it's not...
okay. Anyway, it's in there. This is what scares me. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
I mean, honestly, this is what scares me.
Disc full.
Yes, no, I know.
There's no shame in not remembering Eric Carmen. Excuse me, Mr. Carmen. It was a great record. We loved it. That's why we remember it so far. I can blame marijuana. What's your excuse?
No, I need to light it up so maybe I'll remember something.
No, but what were you going to say about it? You covered that.
Covered it, and it was such a good song.
What else did you cover? Oh, you covered I Want You Back. Why do I have that? Was that on a soundtrack or something?
No, that was on 100 Miles to Memphis.
Oh, 100, right. Oh, really? Yeah. Right, okay.
Twas.
100 Miles to Memphis.
When I had you to my love, I can remember being a kid.
Now, did you do that as a tribute? I
did it when we were getting ready to cut something.
Oh.
And the band was like, oh my gosh, you've got to put that on the record. I was like,
oh.
And then I did it.
This guy, Kid Rock, I'm back to Kid Rock.
Yeah.
His version of Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. Do you know
it? Oh, really? No.
You don't?
On what?
I don't know. His 21st century albums. Like when he first came out, I was not into it. I mean, I was never into the brash personality full on, although I love him. He was here also. Looks like everybody you know was here.
Yeah, I know. Okay. My entire Rolodex was here.
And he is who he is. But just separate that from the music. If we can do it with Wagner, we can do it with Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wagner,
just,
Kid Rock.
Yeah, it's just very similar. And I'm sure Kid Rock would take that as a compliment.
He'd be like...
But just the music, like I love his records. There's no music that like takes me back to being 16. That is his genius. Like he has so many songs where, you know, your girlfriend's on your shoulders and, you know, you're listening to AC/DC or whatever the references are and what the first kiss, you know, that's like he has so many songs that if you want to get back into that feeling good, like that kind of good.
Yeah.
He is my boy.
He does do that. When I worked with him on that song Picture, I came home at Christmas time and I was telling my parents, been working with this guy named Bobby Ritchie, Kid Rock. He's such a nice person, got a great family, a lot like ours. He's very close to his family. And I said, he's really, you know, huge. He had this song called Cowboy.
They're
like, oh, we'll play us some of his stuff. We'd love to hear some of it.
No, you wouldn't.
So they bought the CD and the very last song, we get almost to the last song. And I was like, no, that's good. That's all you need to hear. Cause the last song is called Black Pussy, I believe is what it was called.
Am
I
not? Sure it was.
Yes. And so I did a couple of gigs with them, one of which was in St. Louis, and my whole family came. And they watched me play, and then they came backstage, and I was like, okay, well, y'all can go now. No, we want to stay for some of Kid Rock. And I'm thinking, hey, dancing girls, you know, the whole, that they enjoyed about four or five songs.
I've heard that his concerts are like Trump rallies. I mean, with the flags and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, again, not for me.
Yeah.
Don't get it. Can't ever convince you, Kid Rock, to come to my side. I know that would be futile and stupid. So let's just not talk about what we don't agree with.
Yeah, you just do what you do with all of your relatives.
And get along. Exactly. That's what I'm always making that comparison. Mm-hmm. In your family, you would never ask someone to just not
take down their Confederate flag.
Not be who they are.
Yeah. No, it's true.
And the three most important words in any relationship are not "I love you." They're "let it go."
I agree with that.
Well, maybe I oversold that, but let it go is very important.
Let it go, or maybe four words, shut the fuck up. No, I'm kidding.
Well, if you're at the place where you have to tell someone to shut the fuck up, you know, that's one good thing I feel about getting older that I learned along the way. It's like you don't waste time, you know, where you can tell where it's, you know.
Where it's going.
And what could possibly work and what couldn't, and there's no use throwing good love after bad. There's another title.
I love it.
I'm telling
you're
you.
Good.
Oh,
you're
I know
really
you're a blue
good.
Jay. You're gathering for your nest, culture vulture. That you could have them all. It would be an honor. It would be an honor, and I guess I should let you go. But
oh, God. So much fun. I love hanging out
Thank
with you, man.
Thank you so much, Cheryl Crow, my rock star.
We need to hang out when the cameras aren't on okay? Because we have many things to talk about.
And yet it would be no different, would it?
Actually, no, it would not be
That's
any different.
What I'm trying to do with this show.
A few more
F-bombs. Different, but I'll do it with
for
you
me,
anytime.
Maybe a little weed.
Oh, really?
If I'm not singing. You know, that's the thing.
That's
you
it.
Know.
Club. All right.
So anyway, that was fun. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure.
You're a minch. Oh, right.